Kelly Buchberger, of course, a longtime member of the Edmonton Oilers, a multiple Stanley Cup winner. But in 1997, he was tied for the Oilers' playoff leading goals with five, scored one of the more memorable goals in Edmonton Oiler history when he scored in overtime of Game 3, April 20th, 1997. The Oilers were trailing in that game, 3-0. People had left the building. There was, 4 minutes remaining?
Yes.
They were down 3, Cobb. People thought, okay, it's the Dallas Stars, stingy D. You know what? We'll come back for Game 4. Then Doug Weight scored. Then Kovalenko scored. Then Mike Greer. The Oilers scored 3 goals and a .156. And then Bucky won it in overtime. Kelly Buchberger joins us. Kelly, how you doing?
Good, guys. You must be hurting to have me on the show.
Hey, buddy. You know what's funny? We were looking up. It's funny. I'm looking up a lot of different things, and I'm like, Buchberger led them in goals that year in the playoffs, man. You were on fire. 5 goals in 12 playoff games. Just showing up at the big time, I guess.
I wish. But how's everything going there in Edmonton?
You know what?
You're doing okay?
Yeah, all things considered, it's all right. How about you?
Yeah, we're doing okay, actually. We sent the boys home yesterday and today, so we're they haven't canceled the league, but we sent the boys home just to make sure they're with their parents right now.
Yeah, Kelly Buchberger is currently the head coach of the Tri-City Americans. And, Kelly, this whole week we're getting guys from the Oilers and the Stars to kind of talk about that 1997 series. And for a lot of young Connor Halley, a guy in his 30s, that team really kind of was the first time some Oiler fans saw success, because they weren't old enough maybe to see the 80s and 90s. And then, of course, there was the drought of 4 years in a row. And then it was kind of David versus Goliath, because there was no salary cap back then, and Dallas and Detroit and Colorado spent big money. Can you tell me, what was Ron Lowe's message at the start of that series?
I tell you what, I'm sure that everybody you've talked to about Ronnie is probably one of the best coaches that we've ever played for. And he was more of a motivator than ex-O guy. And the guys loved to play for him, and would go the extra mile for him. And the message was that, you know, we wanted to play physical. I think we were up to 80, 90 hits a game throughout our lineup, and obviously some strong goaltending. But everybody was buying into what the coaching staff was selling, and we played aggressive. We didn't wait for them to come at us. We went at them, and, we got some unfortunate bounces throughout the series, which led us to win the series. So.
Buck, I love that you got the idea of everyone being physical against Dallas. And was there a little bit of from them? They're like, the Dallas Stars, like, why are these guys hitting us? Like, we should just roll over these guys, and they should accept that that us just beating them easily.
I would say probably, I don't know, maybe there was a little bit of lack of respect, because if you look at our lineup, we had a really young lineup and not a lot of experience throughout the lineup. And I think I played with Smitty and Arnie through that series. And then there was... Tadi Marchand was a big part of that, and Dougie Weight. But you look at the guys that went through, and a lot of them had long careers, but we were young at that time, and we were just playing hard and believing that we could win after, obviously, that one win.
Well, and I don't, so you lose game one. Now, Marchand did open up the scoring in game one, a shorthanded, right? It's a close game. They get an empty netter to win 5-3. Then you come back for game two. And, that a lot happened in that game, Kelly, because not only did you shut out the Stars, but that was also the Brian Marchman situation. Like, it didn't rattle you guys, but that was pretty scary.
Oh, is that the one that went into the door, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, any time that happens is scary, but with Mush, he always plays with an edge. And unfortunately, when that happened, everybody was a little leery what was going to happen, because we didn't know if he was going to come back or not. But knowing Mush, like we all do, he's the toughest man out there. And, he finds a way to get back. But he played a huge part of that team also. Strong character, leadership. And we had a lot of guys like that.
Yeah, you talk about the line you were at, and that was some pretty skilled players you had on your line. I'm sure they were thrilled to play with you in that situation, Bucky.
I brought I brought their best skills out. They just watched me practice, and then they caught on.
Just try to keep up, hey, boys, just try to keep up. But, what was the message to two guys, and they were very, just kind of starting their careers in many ways at that time. What was your message to them when you guys were taking on what, was a good team in Dallas?
I think the biggest thing is that we, you know, and that's what we preach to our players is playing a simple game. We played a really heavy forecheck game hard. And with Ronnie, we played a 2-1-2 system. And you look the way St. Louis played last night or last year, and they're really strong on their forecheck. And Craig Berube, the biggest thing he wanted was a strong forecheck and being hard on their D, and they had success with it, obviously. And I think with us, that was the same thing against Dallas, that we weren't going to lay off at all, and we were going to come at them 2-1-2 throughout the neutral zone and deep forecheck. And then, obviously, we took advantage of our scoring opportunities.
Kelly Buchberger joined us. Kelly, of course, you came up in the heyday of the Oilers with dominant superstar players on the team, right? And you filled a role. But this time, you were one of the veteran guys. You said you had a young group, but when you won game two, did you sense like the belief change and all of a sudden the guys like, hey, we can really compete, or not only did we win, we shut them out?
Yeah, I think we did. I think anytime you win, you get more confident in your team and in yourself. And I think as it started going, the guys started believing more that we have a great chance of beating these guys, even though, you know, they're a highly touted team. There's no question, from goaltending to their decor to the high-end forwards they had, which we had probably no business being in a series with them. But as we all know, things change quick, and the teams that have the will and the desire to compete at a higher level will always win.
So I'm sure you've talked to a lot of fans over the years that told you, yeah, you know what, I was one of them that left the building, and then I turned around on the Capilano Freeway to come back for overtime. You guys were down 3-0 on home ice in Game 3 with 4 minutes remaining, and then you score 3 goals in like a .156 against a pretty good defensive team. Like, it's one of those things like when Doug Weight scored, there wasn't even much of a celebration, right? Like, he scored kind of ho-hum, and then all of a sudden Kovalenko scores on a power play, but then it was only 12 seconds later Mike Greer scored. So I can only imagine, Kelly, how the bench goes in a span of 2 minutes from, oh man, this sucks, to, geez, now we're right in the game, we got a chance. What was said before overtime in that intermission?
Well, I think Ronnie told me I wasn't going back on the ice, so he must have had a brain cramp to put me out there. But you can't explain momentum, especially like that. You know, that's not going to happen a lot. But when it did, you know, the energy throughout the dressing room and throughout the lineup was unreal, and everybody was just firing on all cylinders. And I think he calmed down the group after the third period, and the way we were, you know, emotionally attached to the game, and then we just took it on into the third or the overtime.
Yeah, I love that, because, you know, you talk about that comeback and how exciting that is, but the energy has got to be so high in that room. And how do you kind of just say it? Because you don't even want to have an intermission. You just want to keep playing. But is there anyone who said anything like, guys, we just got to keep playing the same where we are, or just kind of let that energy just run wild?
Well, Ronnie was our true leader. There's no question about that. And then he came in, and he's emotional as it is, but he had toned it down. And he said, "Hey, listen, the job's not done. We've got where we are because of you guys, the way you compete and hard." And then he said, "Listen, I want you guys still to be aggressive at all times." And exactly what we did. And you know, we're fortunate to win the game. There's no question about it. And it turned the series.
Kelly Buchberger joins us. Kelly, I'm going to ask you to stay with us for a break, because we've got a lot more to talk about that series. And, of course, we've got to talk about your goal and then moving on into that series. You got a few extra minutes for us?
You bet, boy.
And so I want to go, you talked about just the energy and intermission. You scored 3 goals. People are going crazy. The guys are fired up. Ronnie Lowe tries to calm you down. And then you get to overtime, and, you know, you score 9 minutes, 15 seconds in. You know, you've been on Stanley Cup winning teams, Kelly, but explain me your feeling when that goal goes in.
Well, it's one of those things that I think everybody wants to score in overtime in the playoffs. It's such a rush for yourself and what you've accomplished with the team. And when that happened, I think there was a question that Mike Greer had went through the crease, if I'm not mistaken, at that time. And so it was questionable. But after the celebration and everything, it was one of those moments that you'll never forget.
Now, were your eyes both open, one closed, two closed? What did you do for that one, Bucky?
I kept it between the ditches.
No, but what a great moment. You know what? Actually, it was a really good, as I watched the replay. I think, who was that? Mats Lindgren came over and he did a drop pass and gave you quite a bit of space, yeah, actually, to release that wrist shot. I mean, he took a pretty hard hit for that. Did you buy him a beer after for that one?
I think I bought a few beers.
So, you know, Dallas comes back. They win 4-3 in game four. So now it's a best of three. You're going into Dallas, and you get to game five, and it's scoreless through 30 minutes, scoreless through 60, scoreless through 90 minutes, and 80 minutes. And so now you get into double overtime. You're on the bet. Was fatigue at all a factor in double overtime, Kelly? Did you notice it as a player?
I don't think so. I honestly think that with our team, and like I said earlier, that we're fairly young and we're always full of energy. You look at Dougie. Dougie was young then, and Jason Arnett was young. Smitty was probably only 22 or 23 at that time. So we had some young, skilled guys that had a lot of energy, and Mike Greer was a big part of it, Mats Lindgren, and you can go down and Rem Murray. But I think with all those guys, and Kevin was on the team also at that time, if you guys don't remember. Right. And so he added a lot of leadership. I know he didn't play because he was hurt, but in the meantime, he was still adding a lot of leadership throughout the group.
Yeah, he played one game and he had a broken foot. I talked to him about it last week. He's coming on the show later on this week, and you know, said it was pretty disappointing because you know, we were talking about the blue line, Kelly, and it was, you know, it was an unheralded group of defensemen maybe after Boris Mironov. You know, guys like Dan McGillis and Greg DeVries and Drew Bannister, who you guys had acquired from Tampa, but had only played one regular season game and then steps in the playoffs. And it's kind of funny when you get and not to be disrespectful, but like a ragtag group of guys, but everything just gelled together. What made that group kind of unique in the personalities that you had?
I think there's no question the coaching staff, how they brought the team together at the start of the season and throughout, and we had some tough times throughout the season, but you look at the young guys that played and they were just playing hockey. Drew Bannister came in, and he started playing unreal. Danny McGillis, I think it was his first or second year, played extremely well. But with everybody that was there, everybody was buying in what the coaching staff were saying. And Kevin was a big part of that, bringing them back with the decor. And you know, they weren't flashy, like you said. I think Boris Mironov was probably our most skilled D-man back then. And Boris was underrated, I think, in a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah, I agree. He was a really, really sharp D-man. Joined by Kelly Buckberg. What's that? Go ahead.
We always kind of lost them in New York for some reason.
Well, I was playing them in Chicago, and he was my partner when I first went to Chicago. And Bucky, you can probably believe us. We were on a plane ride home. We played like 10 games or so. And he just comes to sit behind the plane. He's like, you know what? You're actually a better player than I thought. I'm like, oh, thanks. That's really nice. He's like, just say no, I'm quitting after tonight when we get home. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, they won't give me the contract I want. I'm quitting. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, I feel bad for the team, but I really felt bad for myself. Like, I was playing with a good D-man and getting lots of minutes. And sure enough, he just quit. He didn't come back, and he was traded to New York, and they gave him the contract he wanted. But, like, he was just such a character in that way.
He, you know what, for a player from Europe, he added a lot of character to our team, and he was a big part. He fit right in with everybody. You know, he had his family down there from Russia, and he played hard. And a lot of people don't realize how physical Boris played, and he had a lot of skill, and, you know, there's no question he had some issues once in a while, but overall, like, he made us a way better hockey team if we didn't have him.
Joined by Kelly Buckberger, longtime NHLer and member of the NHL alumni, did a great job in so many different ways. Bucky, maybe talk a little bit about, you know, when you're going through a playoff series, specifically this one, you start playing against the same guys, you see them. What is that, you know, just not team to team, but even player versus player in those kind of battles that we see emerge in longtime series and intense series like you did in this one in 97?
Well, you get a hate on for them. There's no question about it. And back then, if you remember, there was a lot of five-on-fives throughout the season with them and even the playoffs. And it didn't matter. Every time we played them, it was a hard-fought game, and there was no free passes from either team. And, you know, I think if you probably look at the pass, I don't know exactly what the stats are, but I'm sure they had the more wins throughout the regular season on us, and then throughout the playoffs, that one series, we just had one of those moments that we all gelled together for the two weeks, and we got the job done.
So now I want you to take me to Game 7. You've been in Game 7s before. It's you know, it's the opening round, but Game 7 is what every player lives for. And before Todd Marchand scored on a breakaway, which rarely happened anyway, but then he's picked the perfect time to score on a breakaway. Where were you, Kelly, when Joseph robbed Joe Nieuwendyk?
Oh, man.
I was in the penalty box because we ended up playing 4-on-4, if you remember that. I took it, me and I can't remember who exactly who it was. It might have been Daryl Sedor took double minors.
Matt Tkachuk, I'm just looking at it. Yeah, you and Matt Tkachuk.
And then, so that all happened. Then Toddy, there's no question, he went on the right-hand side. And who blew his wheel there?
Grant Ledger.
Grant Ledger. Yeah. And then, like you said, Toddy must have closed his eyes and wished for something, because very seldom he ever scored on a power bar on a breakaway.
So you're in the penalty box, yeah. Bucky, and you know, like, guys are going crazy on the bench. You know, obviously you come out of the penalty. I just remember Ron Lowe coming on the ice, and they show him, and he's walking up to Curtis Joseph, and the camera's on him. It's like, nice bleeping save, right? Like I said, he's a former goalie, because like that was one of the greatest saves on a Hall of Fame guy. It wasn't like it was, you know, a rookie. It was Joe Nieuwendyk that he stoned in front.
I know. It's one of those saves that he'll never forget, and neither will we. But, you know, back to Ronnie, the way the emotion, he came off the bench after that win, it was just like one of the players, like, this is, like, unbelievable what we just accomplished. And that was the type of guy Ronnie was when we played for him. And that's why the emotion from him went on to us and all fed right through the D forwards and goalies.
Bucky, you know, I love the clip, and I've seen this clip many times, you know, as an Oilers, they show it. And like, all the guys are going crazy, jumping over the boards you just talked about. Then you look at Kevin Lowe. He just steps out of the bench and just kind of skates over, like, he's just going to pick up a drink at the bar. Like, what is his reaction in there after the game? Is he still fired up, or what was he like?
Well, I think probably after 6 Stanley Cups, the one first series is probably not huge to him, but I think just for us, to defeat Dallas in that series was huge for all of us. And with Kevin, the experience that he had was a huge in those areas, and he talked between periods with the guys, and he was a big part of it. And but like I said, experience, he knows that it's 4 rounds, not only one, but we'll take that one round.
Well, and you know what? It was around, and then you did it again the next year. You knocked off a highly ranked Colorado team. How much did that victory in 97, and I don't know, does it carry over at all? Like, because you had a lot of the same guys. There was a few changes, but a lot of the same core players were there. Is the, when you beat a really dominant team once, is the belief system easier to come by rather than trying to have to fake that you believe it?
I think so. Like you said, like, we beat Colorado the following year. And I think the guys just believe that they could get the job done. And then we talked about it earlier, we were in a highly skilled team. There's no question except for myself. And
you know, we watched you play, right?
Hey, you see me in summer hockey. I honestly believe that we could do it after that Dallas series.
So now take me to the celebrate, because I know, hey, it's the playoffs. It's 1997. You still got to celebrate the victories. What did you guys fly home right after the game in Dallas, or did you go out and have fun as a team?
I can't tell you, but I think we're at the Gentleman's Club.
So, like this, like, Kelly, you've been on Stanley Cup winning teams, and obviously winning the Cup is a totally different thing than winning a round. But at that moment, like, it feels like the greatest thing, right? Because when you get caught up in it and you had so many young guys, like, you don't know what it's like, other than you and maybe Kevin Lowe, no one else knew what it was to win a Stanley Cup. And for a lot of them, that was their first ever playoff series win. Like, As a veteran, just seeing the young guys get that excited, I'm assuming you kind of feel like you're a young guy all over again?
No, 100%. You're in exactly with them. And we were young, and anytime you have success, you win. And like we battled, and it didn't come easy for us to win that series, but the emotions were high. I'd honestly say that we had really strong character on our team, and it went through the four lines and the D-men, and no question the goaltending with Curtis. But when you have that leadership, when it starts even in goaltending, like Curtis was a huge leader for us, and he brought so much. I think he was still young at that time. He probably was only 26, 27 at that time. But his leadership at that level was huge because of his personality.
And Kelly, before we let you go, how was unfortunately for you, second year in the league and it gets stopped. But how's the transition to head coaching gone for you in the Dub in Tri-Cities?
I love it. You know what? I love working with the kids. They're sponges. They want to get better. From everything, I think from the players, you see them developing from year to year. I know it's only been 2 years, but I see a lot of development in the 2 years of the players, especially the young players. We had a really young team this year. At times we were playing with, 3 15-year-olds and 5 16-year-olds. So, it was a learning curve for everybody. Patience is a huge thing in this league, waiting for them to develop, but we made some moves throughout the season to make us better in the future, and we're hoping for a better future.
When you're showing them highlights of your career, do you show them your goals of overtime or a few of your tilts more? Which one?
They don't even know who I am.
They had to hockey DB you?
Just the Edmonton boys do. That's it. But we have a lot of them. But they're great because we'll be working out and I'm like, you guys know who, let's just say Kevin McCollum or someone. They go, no, who's that? And then I'll go, do you know who Ron Francis is? No. I'm like, you guys don't know who Ron Francis is. So they're not hockey geeks yet.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to get them on. Do they know Jason Strudwick?
I'm sure that they do. Come on.
Yeah, 100%. Strudy's name comes up like at least once a day.
Well, Kelly, we really appreciate this. We're going to be talking to a lot of your teammates throughout the next 2 weeks. Obviously, coronavirus now, so we're going to talk on stories, and Oiler fans need something positive. And 1997 was one of the best memories for a lot of Oiler fans, so we appreciate you taking some time today.
Okay, guys, have a great day, and I'll see you guys soon.